The Lonely Ones by Håkan Nesser, translated by Sarah Death and read by Martin Wenner. The town of Kumlinge and its environs do not exist on the map, and certain military and academic circumstances have been changed to fulfill the requirements of decency. That aside, this book is in many other respects a truthful story. "Can we speak of a human being's innermost core?" asked Regina. "Is there any point?"
"I don't know," replied Mar.
"Perhaps." Eric Steinbeck, The Gardener's Horizons. Prologue, September 1958. He awoke to the sound of voices arguing. It wasn't mother or father. They never argued. You don't get arguments in the Holy Family, do you now? Father would say and laugh in that serious way that left you not knowing if he was joking or really meant it. It wasn't Viviane arguing either. Or any other living person, no. The voices were inside his own head.
"Do it," said one. "It would serve them right. They're not fair on you."
"Don't do it," said the other. "You'll get a thrashing. He's bound to notice." It was odd that you could be woken by voices that didn't really exist, he thought. He looked at the clock. It was only 6:30. 20 minutes before he normally got up. That was odd, too. He hardly ever woke of his own accord. Mother generally had to wake him, and sometimes twice. It was because it was a special morning, of course. Yes, that was it. And because of what he'd been thinking last night. Before he went to sleep. That thing the voices were arguing about. He had no doubt dreamt about it, too. He must have. Though he couldn't remember having done so. He lay there for a while and tried to get back into the same sleep, but it didn't work. He sat up and swung his legs over the side of the bed. "I'll do it," he thought. "It's quite possible nothing at all will happen, but I'm so angry. It isn't fair. And when something isn't fair, you've got to do something about it. Just as Father says." "Don't do it," that other voice told him. "He's bound to notice. And how on earth will you be able to explain it then?" "He won't notice," said the first voice. "Don't be such a bloody coward. You'll regret it, and feel ashamed that you were too scared if you don't. It's such a little thing, after all." "Far from it," said the other voice. "You'll regret it if you do it, and it's not a little thing." But it wasn't so clearly audible anymore, the voice that wanted to stop him. Not much more than a whisper, really. He got up and went over to the chair where his clothes were hanging. He put his hand in the pocket of the light blue cardigan to check. Yes, the box of pastels was still there. As easy as pie, he thought. It would be as easy as pie. And the likelihood of him getting caught was less than a fart in a storm. That was another thing Father used to say. Other people said a needle in a haystack, but Father always said a fart in a storm. The other voice tried to whimper something, but it was so faint that he couldn't hear it any longer. No more than you could hear, well, yes, and he couldn't resist a giggle about it, a fart in a storm. He went into the bathroom and realized his whole body was tingling. The decision felt like a warm ball inside his head. Part 1 Chapter 1 Rickard Berglund was in many respects a rational young man, but he had an unusual aversion to Tuesdays. This hadn't always been the case. The rationality had always been there, certainly. But in the closing years of the 1950s, before he had taken the step up from Stava School to junior secondary